Last week we looked at the first part of the book of Luke, and we saw that a virgin received incredible news. That incredible news was that she was going to get pregnant without having any kind of relationship with a man, and just miraculously pregnant, and she would give birth to God's Son, the Messiah. Now today we're going to look at a doctor who records the virgin birth. That would be Dr. Luke. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 18, we're going to look at that today. And so what I would like to ask you to do is just follow along with me in your Bibles as I read this inspired and inerrant account of the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. First, there is the decree of Caesar Augustus. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And now we'll see the Davidic lineage. Joseph also went up out of Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David. You know, David was promised back in 2 Samuel 7 and Jeremiah 31. But he was promised that he would give birth to a child, and ultimately his seed would lead to the Messiah. And the Messiah would reign on the throne of his father David. And in the house of Bethlehem, the house of bread, Jesus is the bread of life. So Joseph went up out of Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And now we read about the labor and delivery. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. There was no room for them. No room for them in the inn. And now we read the birth announcement in verses 8 through 11. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel spoke, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And then we see the response of the shepherds. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill towards men.'" Peace, goodwill towards men. "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." Well, what was the saying told them? That this would be the Christ. This would be the Savior. "This unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And so they made that known to people, that the Messiah had come, that Christ, the Anointed One, had come. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Now I want to share a time-worn and time-honored account of the Christmas story as I have rewritten it. And it came about in those days that there went out a decree from the Chamber of Commerce that all the stores should stay open. And this decree was made when Barack Obama was president of the United States. And all went to the stores, everyone to his own city. And there were in that same country people abiding in their homes, keeping watch over their socks by night. And lo, Santa Claus came upon them. And the glory of Rudolph's nose shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And Santa Claus said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people with money or charge accounts. For unto you shall be given a feast of stuffed turkey, a dish of red cranberries, a bowl of assorted nuts, and a host of football games, and a number of expensive gifts. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the gifts wrapped in colorful packages and lying under a Christmas tree." And suddenly there were hosts of friends and relatives in their home, praising them and saying, "Oh, isn't this fantastic? This is just what I wanted." And it came to pass, when the friends had departed from their homes, that they said, "Let us now go into town and exchange these gifts for something better." And when they exchanged them, they made known abroad the saying, "Let's keep Christ out of Christmas." And all they that heard it wondered at that saying which was told to them. My friends, that account is a far cry from the account we just read in the scripture. But unfortunately, that is the only account of Christmas many people are choosing to celebrate. The real meaning of Christmas has become fuzzy, if not completely lost, to most people. We need to get Christmas into focus. We need to get the true focus of Christmas into the forefront of our hearts and our minds and our celebrations. We need to understand the true priorities of Christmas. So I would like to share three very common focuses of Christmas, and then one not so common focus. The first three very common focuses leave no room for Jesus. The first is the commercial focus, focusing on gifts instead of God. The commercial focus is well illustrated by a very powerful and moving Christmas story. And in this story, the young wife has long, beautiful hair that she has grown over years, and it was a source of pride for her husband and a great glory for her. And her young husband had a very treasured watch that had been passed down from his great-grandfather to his grandfather to his father to him. The young lady painfully and tearfully sold her hair, had it chopped off so she could get money to buy a chain for her husband's treasured watch. In the meantime, the husband, with great remorse, painfully sold his heirloom watch in order to buy some very precious combs for his wife's long hair. When they opened their presents at Christmas, they both shed tears of regret as they realized that they had been caught up and torn down by the commercial focus. A young man was once asked about the customs of Christmas in America. And his answer was very perceptive and revealing, because he thought one of the customs of Christmas in America is going into debt. Perhaps that's a reason for the often sung Christmas carol, "I heard the bills on Christmas Day." A man went to a gift counselor at a large department store and said, "I'd like to get my wife a Christmas present for $30. And the counselor at the store looked at him and said, "Well, wait just a minute. I'll see if I can get you in touch with the ghost of Christmas past." Ultimately, the commercial focus kind of affects our emotions. we're all caught up in the stuff around Christmas and running to stores and getting online and going to Amazon and buying this and buying that. And I've written some new words, a familiar Christmas carol, to show you what I mean. I've entitled the song, Hurry Up. The subtitle would be Jungle Bells. Here it is. Dashing in your car, grumbling as you go. If someone's in your way, shake your fist like so. Rushing through the stores, charging down the aisles. All the people's faces lined with tense and fakey smiles. Oh, hurry up, hurry up, get your shopping done. Oh, what grief it is to think that I've just begun. Hurry up, hurry up, it almost makes me shout. Gifts and cards and projects too, they totally wear me out. I want to make something perfectly clear about the Christmas focus. There's nothing wrong with giving. Nothing wrong with giving. The problem is leaving out God. Are you leaving out God? Has Christmas become a drain instead of a delight? Is it a stressful night instead of a silent night? You need to renew your focus. You need to remember the reason for the season. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That's the commercial focus, focusing on gifts instead of God. Then there's the social focus, focusing on love instead of the Lord. The social focus humanizes the Lord and emphasizes love. The social focus ignores or rejects that which is biblically acceptable, a virgin birth, the deity of Jesus Christ, and highlights that which is socially acceptable. A baby is born, and love is wonderful. I'll never forget watching a television show at Christmas time. It featured Joseph and Mary on their long trek down to Bethlehem. Pictured her having this little boy in a manger with the animals around. And the show concluded with this statement. Birth is a miracle. Love is a miracle. It was so delightful, but so deceptive. It wasn't just a birth. It was a virgin birth, a miraculous birth. And it wasn't just love. It was God's love. God loving us enough to send His eternal Son to earth to be born of a virgin, so that we could know Him and have life. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Now please note, the birth announcement, as proclaimed by the angel, is not, for unto you is born a baby who is loved. That is not the birth announcement. The birth announcement was, unto you is born a Savior, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, God. That's the birth announcement. It's not just that a baby was born. It's not just that they loved the baby. Now let me make something clear about the social focus. There's nothing wrong with loving. The problem is leaving out the Lord. Have you ever stopped doing what is right and just settled for doing what is ritual? Far too many people do that at Christmas time. They just settle for the ritual. Has devotion to decorating become more important than devotion to worship? Has the celebration of a holiday replaced the celebration of the Savior's birth? The world wants us to ignore the Christ who was born and simply celebrate a holiday, a winter festival, a time of giving. And I say, don't leave out the Lord. Then the third focus is the mythological focus, focusing on Santa instead of the Savior. The mythological focus has become a major focus of our time. It's supported by the thoughts of children and the traditions of adults. The mythological focus is reinforced by songs like Santa Claus is Coming to Town, or "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," or stories like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, people dressed up in red suits pretending to be Santa. The mythological focus has so clouded the season that the following story, the following incident, is not at all hard to understand or believe. There were some ladies who were going downtown, just looking at all the beautiful Christmas decorations and all the storefront windows. And they saw Santa and his elves. They saw Rudolph and the other reindeer and the sleigh. They saw Frosty the snowman. And then as they're walking along, they came to a little scene that had Joseph and Mary with the baby Jesus in a manger. And one of the ladies turned to the other lady and says, well, look at that. Can you believe it? Now the church is trying to horn in on Christmas. What? It's Jesus' birthday. Oh, my goodness. You know, whose coming is celebrated at Christmas? Is it Santa's? Or is it the Savior's? While I was in Texas, I read the letters to Santa in the Dallas Morning News. I've got some of them here I want to share with you. I'm going to share a couple were funny. Dear Santa, how are you? Did you have a nice summer? Okay, let's get down to business. What I want for Christmas is, and he goes on with his list. I need another one. Dear Santa, how are you and your elves? I hope you don't get stuck in the chimney, because if you do, you'll mess up Christmas for everyone in the world. You ought to use Ultra Slim Fast, and you should start the week before Christmas. Those were funny. But then there were other letters I read that honestly almost made me cry. These poor children were writing letters to Santa like he was God. They were like prayers. Listen, I'm going to share some of them with you. Dear Santa, for my mom for Christmas, I would really like it if we stopped fighting so much. Dear Santa, what I want for Christmas is for my Uncle Alberto and my grandma to get better. I want my Uncle Alberto to get better because he has a big cut on his back and the doctor thinks that he might have cancer. And I want my grandma to get better because she has something wrong with her lungs. Here's another. Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas is a job for my father. He's been looking, but he just can't find one. And another one. Dear Santa, I want my family because that is important to me. For my mom, I hope I can pass fourth grade because I don't want them to tell me that I'm dumb. And don't forget that I love you. Yeah, it breaks my heart. I wonder if these kids know that there is a heavenly Father who not only loves them, but can hear and answer prayer. I want to make something very clear about the mythological focus. There's nothing wrong with Santa. The problem is leaving out the Savior. Santa's tradition. The Savior is truth. Santa's sensational. Jesus is supernatural. Santa's fantasy. Jesus is fact. Jesus is real. It's his birthday, and Christmas should be a celebration of his birth. Now let's consider a fourth focus, a focus distinct from those three we've looked at. This fourth is the biblical focus. It's focusing on God instead of gifts. Look again at verses 10 and 11. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you there is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This is the big biblical focus. Focusing on God and his great gift, the gift of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. He sent Jesus for us. Jesus is a gift to us. And when we receive that gift, when we receive Jesus, we receive eternal life and forgiveness of sin. It's an amazing. Focus on God and His great gift. Focus on the Lord and His great love. I like Romans 5:8 that says, God demonstrated His love toward us, or God proved His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died in our place. Focus on the Lord and His love. Focus on the Savior and His great sacrifice. Matthew 20:28 says, Jesus said, I have come to give my life a ransom for many. Think about that. Jesus came, He was born to die. I mean, think about it. He was born to die. He came to that cradle so He could go to that cross. What a sacrifice. How about it? I want to get very personal for a minute. First of all, I want to challenge those of you who have already accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Is there room? You know, we saw in the first part of this, there was no room for them in the end. So I want to talk about this no room thing. First of all, is there room in your holiday for Jesus? Is there room in your home at Christmas? Or would the sign, no room, hang appropriately over your home at the holiday? Is it all just about the rituals and the mythological and the gifts and the love and the Santa? Are you focusing on gifts instead of God? Love instead of the Lord? Santa instead of the Savior? I want to encourage you to intentionally focus on Christ this Christmas. Take time to read the real Christmas story that we just read here, Luke 2:1-18. Take time to read the real Christmas story with your family at Christmas time. And take time to thank God for this incredible gift, or as Paul calls it, this indescribable gift, the free gift of eternal life, the free gift of Jesus. Give Jesus a special place in your holiday celebration. Set aside some time and some funds to give to Jesus. And now I'd like to extend a personal challenge and a glorious invitation to those who may have come here today without Jesus. If you came here and you don't have Jesus in your life and you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, then possibly there could be a sign over your heart that says, no room. You just don't have room for Him. You don't want Him in your life. But maybe after thinking about all that is being offered, maybe after thinking about the amazing sacrifice of Christ, the incredible love of God the Father for you, you're thinking, I want a relationship with Him. I want to be part of God's family. I want to have Jesus. I want to have eternal life. Well, if that's the case, then I would like to encourage you to place your faith in Christ. And I want to share a verse and then the words of a song by Philip Brooks. But the verse first is John 1:12. Well, John 1:11, he talks about coming to his own and his own didn't receive him. Talk about Jesus coming to his own and they didn't receive him. But verse 12 says, but as many as did receive him, to them God gave the privilege of becoming children of God. And then he explains what he means by receive him. That is, to those who believe on his name. If you believe in him, you'll receive him. At the moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He enters into your life. So all we have to do is place our faith in Christ and He'll enter into our life. And Philip Brooks understood that so well. And so in this great classic Christmas hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, he says this, how silently the wondrous gift, this gift of Jesus in eternal life, how silently this wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of His heaven. No ear can hear His coming. But in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him, the dear Christ enters in. You see that? He's realizing that this wondrous gift of heaven, Jesus Christ, eternal life, when you believe in him, he enters into your life. And then in the second, in the next verse, he says, oh, holy, this is actually a prayer. It's like a sinner's prayer. Oh, holy child, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, oh, come to us. Abide in us. Abide with us. Our Lord Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. So you see, in this song we sing over and over, it's really, and I wonder about how many people might for some reason sing O Little Town of Bethlehem that have never experienced this silent, invisible truth of having the Son of God come into their life and give them eternal life and abiding with them. But you can. You can pray a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I realize that I have sinned and I cannot be good enough to get to heaven. And I understand that you came for me. That's why you came to earth at Christmas. And you came to die on the cross. And I believe that you died for me, and I believe you rose from the dead. And right now, I place my faith in you. If that prayer expresses a desire of your heart, if you are right now, for the first time, placing your faith in Christ, I can assure you, this wondrous gift is being given to you. The Christ is entering your life. You are being adopted in the family of God. You're given eternal life, and you're guaranteed eternity with God. No greater gift could ever be received at Christmas than the gift of Jesus Christ. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. And if you're here today and you've never before made that decision to trust in Jesus as your personal Savior, then let this be the time as we sing. And the praise team can come up to lead as I pray. But I want us to, if you've never before received Christ, let today be the day. It'd be awesome. Father, I want to pray first of all on behalf of any who may be here without Jesus that want to trust him right now. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus for me. Thank you that he was willing to die in my place and pay for my sin. I believe he died and he rose again. And right now, in the quietness of my heart, I place my faith in Jesus.